This week, colleges start sending out acceptance and rejection letters, sealing the future of young people. Hogwash, says our next guest. The thinking that getting into your first choice school or an elite school determines your future is not only not true, it's cruel. A 2014 report from Gallup and Purdue agrees it found no difference in workplace engagement or well-being between grads of state schools and those who went to the top-ranked schools in U.S. News and World Report. And New York Times columnist Frank Bruni would add, those rankings in U.S. News, well, again, hogwash. The title of his new book is Where You Go Is Not Who You'll Be. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you quote William Drezewitz. He wrote the book Excellent Sheep. We've had him on this program. He writes about an admissions process squatting like a dragon at the entrance to adulthood.
Right.
Just devouring young people. Just give us the overarching here. What is wrong?
Well, what's wrong is that we're giving kids who are blessed enough, and we need to say that, kids who are blessed enough to be looking with a guarantee of going to college, we've given them the message that getting into the most exclusive schools, going to schools with acceptance rates of below 15% or 10%, that that's going to be a guarantor of success or an insurance policy against failure. And while certain schools can absolutely be advantages in certain ways, life is much more complicated than that. And we're filling kids and parents with an incredible amount of anxiety, all predicated on an oversimplification of the world and of college.
Well, there's so many false narratives here. You looked at the Fortune 500 and CEOs of companies. You looked at the Senate. What did you find?
I found that there was no pattern to where successful people went to school. So I looked at the top 10 corporations, and then I looked at the CEOs of each. Only one Ivy League school. When I looked at the whole top 100 in the Fortune 500, fewer than 30 of those top chief executives had gone to undergraduate institutions, that make the heart race.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the same in the U.S. Senate.
In fact, you say that people might fare better if they are rejected from their first choice school, because something happens. I mean, you tell us stories of people who then want to try harder and actually feel they did better than they would have done had they been accepted.
What happened is they ended up learning a resilience that they might not have learned so early on because of that disappointment. What happened with some of them is they found themselves on a stage that was less crowded with overachievers, and they found a confidence that they'd never had before.
Give us an example.
Well, I remember this one kid I talked to. He's from the very beginning of the book. He went to a high school in the suburbs of Chicago in a very rich area. He was telling me about a friend of his in high school who was ranked near the top of the class, and she went off to Yale. He was ranked, maybe in the top 33%, very far down. Didn't even get into the state schools he wanted to go to. Ended up going to Indiana University, which was like his fourth or fifth choice. But once he got there, maybe it was because he was blooming a little bit later in life, which we forget that people do, he suddenly was getting A's in courses. He was inducted into a special honors program in the business track. He ended up getting a job out of school with the Boston Consulting Group, which was one of those Cadillac management consulting groups in Chicago. He looks up. And who's joined him there but the woman who went to Yale? They had traveled different paths, his much less gilded, to the same destination. And right now, he's finishing up an MBA program at Harvard.
You mentioned this student was in the 33%. Students who were in the top, had done everything right, hired consultants. There's one consultant you profile who charges $50,000, starts working with kids when they're in ninth grade.
There are many consultants that fit that profile. It's a booming industry.
But the point is you can do that and do everything right and do all the volunteering and all the everything they tell you to do and still not get into the top schools, which might be even more shattering.
Because they're tethering their self-worth to whether they attain those goals. Some of these schools have acceptance rates that are so low. Stanford last year set a new precedent. Only 5.1% of applicants were accepted. When you think about what that means in terms of any given kid's odds, especially if that kid is not a legacy case, is not a star athlete, is not a standout musician, is just a phrase I use in the book, is just generically outstanding, which sounds like, it was oxymoron, but that's not enough anymore.
Well, the system's so rigged as well. You point out that some schools will buy the names of prospective students from the SATs and then recruit them like crazy to lure them to apply so that they can turn them down and have a low acceptance rate.
Absolutely. Schools are ginning up desire. in order to frustrate it. And they're doing it because a low acceptance rate is bragging rights. You know, if Stanford posts an acceptance rate of 5.1%, you can bet that Harvard and Yale don't want theirs to be anything over 7.5 or 7 because they'll look to the outside world as if they're inferior to Stanford, which is, of course, ludicrous. We've let top schools become regarded as handbags. You know, you want the Prada. You don't want what you can pick up at Walmart. Education is so much more important, so much bigger, and yet we're turning it into a luxury product that people compete for.
Talk about some of the schools that have such interesting programs and are so overlooked. There's actually lists of overlooked colleges.
My favorite example is actually Arizona State University, and I'll tell you why. Arizona State is enormous, something like 75,000 students, and it has an image, a caricature, as a party school, which I'm sure it does much to live up to. But Arizona State University also has an amazing undergraduate honors college where students are learning from a caliber of faculty that matches up against any school anywhere. I profile a couple of students who went through ASU and got extraordinary educations because they were at a large state university with the scale and the resources and the amount of money where that's possible. They just had to insist on it and be a little bit more proactive, which in and of itself was a great part of their education.
Monmouth University in New Jersey has a behavioral psychology course that takes place with the sea mammals at Six Flags Great Adventure. St. Norbert College in Wisconsin has a relationship with the Green Bay Packers where kids can study the business of sports. Just some of the unique programs and schools mentioned in New York Times columnist Frank Bruni's new book, Where You Go Is Not Who You'll Be, An Antidote to the College Admissions Mania. Frank himself went to private high school, Loomis in Connecticut, had his heart set on Yale, but didn't want his parents to pay. Then he got a big scholarship to the University of North Carolina. He went, and he says it's an experience he wouldn't trade for the world because it got him out of his world into a new one. But Frank, there may have been one trade. Tell us about St. John's in Annapolis and Santa Fe.
St. John's College is a college that's after my heart. It's a shame to me that when I was in a very kind of elite prep school in New England, I never heard or had suggested to me St. John's College. But it is a place that's dedicated to great books. It doesn't do tests so much as it does papers and student-teacher conferences. I mean, it's almost like a kind of literary salon elevated to the level of a college. And yet again, this is a school we don't talk about because we're too busy talking about the known brands.
But Frank, you know, there are going to be people listening who hold on to the narrative that's been written that if you don't get into one of those schools, it's like if you don't get up that rung, you know, on the ladder, you don't meet the young person who might then later in life help you grease the skids into his father's company on Wall Street or something. You know, there's
That may be true. It does work that way for some people. But we have so exaggerated the size of that advantage. You and I have been out in the workforce for a good long time. Mm-hmm. We know that once you pass the age of 25, certainly past the age of 30, no one asks you any longer where you went to school. I think if we send the message to kids that their school's name is going to do the work for them in life, we actually may have created a disadvantage for them because that's not going to be true 10 years down the road.
Well, it might be true that the fact that you went to Harvard might be important in certain circles, but you also point out those become very closed circles.
They do. You know, you're not getting something you might get at a state university where you're going to be encountering a much, much more diverse socioeconomic group of people. And part of navigating the world and even getting ahead in business is being able to deal with all sorts of different people.
And it works in different ways. Howard Schultz, of course, the CEO now of Starbucks, was a Jewish kid from Brooklyn who went to Northern Michigan University in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
That's right. And he will tell you he learned quickly how to be nimble around people he didn't immediately understand, how to, you know, win friends and become a leader in an environment that wasn't immediately familiar.
Frank Bruni, were you surprised at how many former college presidents and deans of admission hate the system the way it is now?
I wasn't surprised, but as we talk about it right now, it makes me sad because they want not to be lashed to it the way they are, but too few of them are taking the steps to disentangle themselves. It's an arms race of sort, you know, an arms race for prestige. And nobody wants to lay down his or her armaments unless they see everybody else doing it. And so it's going to take people of a bit of independence and courage to get us out of this.
Well, I'm thinking that this is a great read for families that might are trying to get out of it, but it's also a great read for families who maybe thought they never had a place in it. There are so many schools out there.
The truth of the matter is, it's a rare college that can't give you an extraordinary education. The fact that you maybe don't have an immediate purchase on or inside track into one of these vaunted colleges isn't as much of a millstone around your neck as you think it is, because you're honing a scrappiness that other people aren't, and you're still going to be able to find a home at a school that can do wonders for you if you carry the right attitude into it and if you carry the right attitude out of it.
That's Frank Bruni. The book is Where You Go Is Not Who You'll Be, An Antidote to the College Admissions Mania. Frank, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.